Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 38 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. And before we get started, we would like to invite you to look in the show notes and find the two links there. As always, there is the calendar of all 40 scriptures that we've discussed, and we will be discussing these last few days of this Lenten journey. And there's links in those out to the Bible app. The next is our companion download, and it is a study guide of sorts that does a deeper dive of what we discuss each episode, and we upload a new page in that study guide each time we speak. So make sure you download it often, and at the end, you'll have a full companion download.
They're going to have a book.
A whole book of about 100 pages or so.
It's over 100 now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
good stuff.
Good, good. So you can go back and reference it. You can listen to the podcast again at your leisure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So with all that busy work aside, honey, would you grace us with the...
Ooh, I get to read?
Yes, please.
Yes. Today we're going to be reading Luke 22, and we'll be reading verses 19 and 20 from the New King James. And it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you."
And I know that we've most likely heard this before.
Oh, yes.
In a church service, maybe you're reading the Bible and you've heard it.
Commonly, they do it during communion.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So before we dive in, I think we want to tackle today. There's, again, a lot of events that happened today on Thursday, Holy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Passover. There was the Last Supper. They also call this Maundy Thursday, and that's the washing of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
There was the garden. Jesus going to the garden, and
the betrayal of Judas.
The betrayal of Judas.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack in here.
Another busy day for our Lord.
I know, right?
Mm.
And all knowing what was going to happen the next day. Like he knew.
Yeah.
They didn't quite know.
Well, that night, he knew that it was going to happen that night. And that's why he went to the garden, just to say, "Lord, if there's another way."
I'd like that.
Can we explore this a little further?
So another way that I don't have to go through this. But if not, we can dive into that a little bit after. So this scripture... unpacking that a little bit, and it doesn't specifically say the elements that were there other than the bread and the wine, but knowing that it's a Passover dinner, most likely there were all of those elements that they were familiar with for the Passover meal every year.
Yeah, they've been celebrating this feast for centuries, and it's been passed down over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's just something that they did.
And the wine and the bread were part of that. So that wasn't anything new to them. What was new to them is for him to break that bread and say, "This is my body," which he knew his body would be broken on that cross for us, not for him, not for It was for us. So that was, you know, that piece. And of course, you know, his blood would be shed for us. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a, what would be a living sacrifice. So.
Yeah. And his blood was spilt on that cross. I just, to me, it really, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the disciples, because they had done this thing, this Passover feast, and their whole lives. They'd been raised doing it. They, you know, they were the, all of them Jewish. This was so familiar to them. And then to have the Lord shed some light on some of the things that they had no clue. It had to have been mind-boggling to them, thinking, you know, we've done this the whole time and we never knew
that that was
that that's why the that God commanded us to do it this way. Mm-hmm. It had to have been just mind-blowing to them. I can kind of relate in a very small way, because there have been those things communicated to me in my life that you just do because you've always done, mm-hmm. without an understanding of why.
And they're like, whoa.
Yeah, and then
mind blown. Get out of my head.
Yeah.
And knowing, so here they've been living under the law. Mm-hmm. And now he says, I'm doing this for your, you know, this death is for your sin, for your salvation.
The new covenant.
The new covenant. And so that must have been additionally like, what?
Yeah, I don't know if they fully grasped that yet. I don't know, because there's this time period after, of course, his crucifixion where they had to go and wait in the upper room. Mm-hmm. Or they had to go and wait for the promise of the Spirit. And I think that's when a lot of this, they started, you know, putting the pieces together
and talking. Going, remember when? And
oh my gosh, I had no idea.
That's what he really meant.
I'm sure there was a lot of those conversations.
I thought it was another maybe parable. I didn't know that it was.
Yeah.
There's another scripture that was from Luke 22:15-16. And it said that Jesus shared the Passover feast with the disciples, and he said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sharing, like, this is what's going to happen. And yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, yeah, for him to be able to open that whole avenue up to their understanding, I'm sure was very eager to do that, because he knew that it would really begin to open their eyes to, mm-hmm. so many things. They were paying attention to his lessons that he taught them all throughout his ministry.
Right.
This was like the final moment, a learning moment that he would have with them. Mm-hmm. And this was an important one.
Sure.
I can see, you know, why he would be so eager to get to that moment and give him that understanding. Mm. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much.
It starts
so many events.
So it starts out when he has Peter and John go and prepare the upper room, mm-hmm. for this feast.
Yep.
And then that evening after sunset, mm-hmm. He washes their feet as just a humble act of service, mm-hmm. which a lot of churches do now. I think it's a very...
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And the people that have participated in it and been the people washing the feet, mm. always come back and say, you know, that was an experience like I've never experienced, mm-hmm. before, being that servant. I mean, if you go on in the scriptures after this too, they began to question among themselves, you know, about who is it that was going to betray him, because he made that reference. And he says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table. Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So he just flipped everything on its head. You know, I always picture, you know, the world says that the president or CEO of the company is at the top of the pyramid, you know, climbing the ladder to get to the top, right? Jesus flips that over. Take that triangle.
He's holding him up.
Take that pyramid and turn it upside down. And with the point going down, picture Jesus there, and
he's holding
up the
weight
whole
on his shoulders.
Structure.
Yeah, that's, I like that analogy. I like that. Yeah, and they say in the business world nowadays, you know, people are starting to realize that and say every good leader is a servant first.
That's right. And you can't be a good leader unless you've been a good employee. Because now you know what is needed in a good leader.
And, you know, one of the things he says, which, I don't know, it's interesting to me for several reasons, about Judas. Like, he knew that Judas was going to do this. He knew he was going to do that. He knew Peter was going to deny him. But to have Judas there, that from what I've done research on, they said he was probably right at the left. He was at the left or the right of him, very close to him. And the seating, there was a whole meaning behind the seating at, probably not like it's depicted in Leonardo da Vinci's, the photo. So they were probably sitting at a lower table with
reclining
cushions.
On the ground.
Reclining or cushions on the ground. But there he was. And he knew, but there's often times where we're among others that we think are trustworthy. And I think it's a reminder to me to just be discerning and not turn them away, but just be aware, like Jesus was. And I don't know why that stuck out to me, but it really did stick out to me.
Well, and that goes back to one of the things that I say very frequently is, the only people that can let you down are those that you lean on. So don't lean on anybody but the Lord.
Oh, that's good.
Because he'll never let you down. And if we put too much trust in people and we lean on people, they're always going to let us down. Always. We're all human. We all fail. We all do things.
In the flesh.
In the flesh at times. The goal is not to, but none of us have achieved perfection yet.
No.
So don't place so much trust in a person. Place your trust in the Lord in that person. Or just place your trust in the Lord, period.
Yeah.
If they're not a believer or you don't know, don't ever get yourself into a position where you're leaning on somebody and expecting so much from them that when they fail, it's going to let you down. It's going to hurt you. Always place that faith and trust in the Lord. Jesus washed Judas' feet knowing
that he was going to be
that he was a betrayer. Judas had already cut the deal with the people, with the Pharisees. He had already betrayed him. He made the deal 2 days prior. And yet, Jesus still washed his feet just like everybody else. Because Jesus' faith wasn't in Judas.
It was in the Father.
It was in the Father.
One of the other scriptures comes out of John. I'd like to read it. It just, it's a different, again, a different viewpoint, different lens from this event. So it's John 6:54, and it says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live in me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever, forever. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just, you know, it's just that living.
Yeah, and at that time, they had no understanding of what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about cannibalism or, you know, something very sick.
The scripture goes on to say, you know, several of his disciples heard this and said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? And they were, you know, they're like complaining and saying, this is offensive. And, you know, he asks the disciples, do you guys want to leave too? Because several left. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
If they didn't have any discernment or spiritual illumination on what he was talking about, I think I would have probably shied away from that saying too.
But I love what, a little further down on John 6:68, it says, but Peter Simon answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them and said, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Mm-hmm. He spoke of Jesus, of Judas, and for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew.
Yeah, he knew right from the beginning. Right from the beginning that Judas was the one that would pull the final punch and send him to the cross.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ones that walked away from him, you know, there's, when we were doing the research, it said that it was interesting that John 6:66 was, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So they're saying, is that coincidence that it's it's that number of the enemy? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't...
Even though men put the numbers in there, who's to say it wasn't the Lord that directed them in their divisions and the numbering system that they placed in there later?
Yeah,
that's a pretty strong coincidence.
Right? So after they finished the supper, Jesus and the disciples left the upper room and they went to the garden of, and I'm going to have you say this because I can never pronounce it right.
Gethsemane. Yep.
And where he prayed in agony to the Father, like mm-hmm. you said, he said, is there another way? Because if there's another way, let's go that route. And they said he was so stressed that he sweated blood. And it was falling to the ground.
What was that condition? Hematidrosis?
Yeah. It's hematidrosis.
Yep.
And it's actually because a lot of people might think you
it
can't
was just
sweat blood.
Language, yeah.
But it is
but
actually
not.
A condition that someone is so stressed that their blood vessels will actually burst and
leak through their sweat glands.
So it is a condition there that
actually bleed through your skin.
Yeah.
Without having a cut.
Can you imagine being that stressed?
Oh, let's stop and think about it. Jesus.
And he knew what was going to happen. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to be in trouble or I'm going to be in jail. Like, he knew every one of those things, those horrible things that was going to happen.
But Jesus had always been with the Father from all eternity past.
Oh, right.
He had been with the Father. He had never been separated from his Father. Even in his incarnate self, he was always connected to the Father. He was about to embark on a journey where he would be completely cut off and separated from his Father. In all of eternity. Yeah, I think that would be a little stressful.
Yeah.
You know, it's when he was hanging on the cross, and that will come on the crucifixion day tomorrow. But when he was hanging on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Mm. It was at that moment that the Father turned his back on his Son because all the sin of the world was on him.
Mm.
And he was completely alone for the first time in all of eternity.
Mm.
And he knew that was coming here in the garden. He knew that was going to happen. Right. That would cause me a lot of stress.
Yeah. And then later in the evening in the garden, that's when Judas betrays him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives him that, comes up and gives him that kiss, which was the signal.
Betrayed with a kiss.
Betrayed with a kiss. And they arrested him and brought him to the high priest.
Caiaphas' house, yep.
Yep. And then that's where the council gathered and they began making the trial against Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And it's so reminiscent of what we see happening today. They identify that they don't like you, and then they proceed
to build a case.
To build a case and find a crime to convict you.
Very much so.
So reminiscent of stuff that happens today and is happening today in this world. It's crazy how parallel these times are to those times.
Yeah, it's...
It just shows you what the battle that we're fighting.
The enemy, it's this spiritual battle.
It's
and
the same enemy.
Same enemy, just different times.
Same thing over and over and over and over and over. And we fall for it every time.
Because we don't look at history and how it's repeating and repeating and repeating. Oh,
yeah, Hegel.
Yeah, and repeating.
History teaches us that man learns nothing from history.
So he, you know, Judas betrays him. And then in those early morning, you know, when there's all the hustle and bustle and the news of what's going on, Peter denies him three times in that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rooster crows. And he heard that. I bet he just...
And it all came back and he's like, oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm the one.
He told me. I didn't believe him. But here I am. Oh. And it's interesting to note how heavily that weighed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't there, you know, when they discovered that he'd been resurrected. He was out fishing.
Mm-hmm.
He just walked away and went back to it all, to his old life, and went back to fishing. Jesus had to come to the shore.
Again.
And call out to him. But then Jesus restored him and gave him an opportunity to repent and change his mind.
That's good.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's just a reminder to us. Let's not be those that turn our back.
No.
Let's choose the right side. Let's stay on that right side and not be, you know, deceitful, not
get caught up in the flesh.
No. Let's let the Holy Spirit.
Because the flesh will cause you to deny him.
Oh. Yeah.
You get in the flesh. I mean, we all do.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting because there are times where I may be in a space with non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very easy to sink back. If you've seen any pictures of me and if you've seen any pictures of the Viking, you know we wear crosses. Very kind of very bold crosses, loud and proud. So it's a symbol mm-hmm. of our belief and a reminder of who we follow and who we believe in and who we put our faith, hope, and trust in for others. And I know it could be easy, you know, if you're in the workplace, it could be easy to back down because there's so much pressures of, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that. But I encourage you, there's ways to say things without shoving it down someone's throat. There's ways to let them see Jesus through you. There's ways to let the Holy Spirit give you those fruits of the Spirit mm-hmm. and that love to love others around you. They will know because of the fruits of the Spirit that you are of Jesus and you're one with Jesus. So
that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world will know that you are my disciples by what? Your love for one another.
Yep.
Yep. What's the first fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love.
Yep. So just an encouragement to wherever you are, be bold and to stand your ground. And this doesn't mean shoving it down someone's throat and thumping over the head with the Bible. It just means to love them. And if someone asks you about your faith, yes, I follow Jesus.
Mm.
Loud and proud.
I'm a fool for Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. And there's ways to discuss things without... You know, it's fine. You're supposed to love other people, even if they have different belief. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means they have different beliefs as you. And that's...
Yeah. And that just means that you have an opportunity
to plant a seed.
Plant the seed or to usher them into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. If you know that they're not there yet, that's great. That should be exciting.
Yeah.
Because, man, here's another one.
Yep. Just flip that on, flip the narrative on its side. Oh, I love that. So there's a lot packed in here. In the study guide, we'll have these links for you to dive deeper. And we're always here to answer. We don't know everything, but we've done some research. And if you have questions or want to discuss it further or just chat about it, you can reach out to us.
Yeah.
We love to talk about this.
You have a need of prayer?
Mm.
We're
so honored.
The opportunity to pray with you and for you.
Yep. So please definitely reach out.
Because we like having all of those answered prayers on our prayer wall.
I know. I love the prayer, the praise reports when they come back.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our God is a God who loves to answer prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Well, on that note.
So we've dissected this enough.
Yes.
There's so much more, but.
Yes, there is a lot more, and the scriptures are there in the study guide. We encourage you to dig in and really have, what is the word for communion? Koinonia.
Koinonia. Your favorite word. You love that word.
I love that word. Have fellowship. Have intimate participation with the Lord in the things that he experienced and went through this day. Nearly 2,000 years ago. Mm. So, on that note, would you like to pray us out?
I would love to. We invite you to join with us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with the utmost gratitude and thanksgiving today for the amazing gift that you've given us. Your only beloved Son that you gave him at the cross for all of our sin, for all of our salvation, even though he had no sin. He had absolutely no sin. He was the lamb that had to be slain for us. And today, on the day that he held the Last Supper with his disciples, knowing what was going to happen, he invited us in for that Last Supper and that communion with him. He invited us to partake in eating of the bread, his body, drinking of the wine, his blood, in remembrance of him. We just ask that you remind us of this. We hope it doesn't slip our mind. We hope we can keep it at the front of our mind and continue to have communion on a regular basis. And this doesn't need to be in a church. It could be around a table with friends and family, and just that fellowship and remembering him and everything that he did for us, and that broken body on the cross, and that blood that was shed on the cross for us, so that all of the sins of Adam could be washed away, and that we'd be joint heirs with him in heaven. We just thank you for all these things, and we just are so thankful that we can now, because of this, come to you directly and have just wonderful conversation with you, have a relationship with you and connection with you without someone in between. So please continue to draw us in, remind us of these things, remind us to stay in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters, to love them big, even if, even when, even then, even in the disagreements, just to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to shine bright, to share those fruits of the Spirit, beginning with love, and just let it pour onto others, just as Jesus did in his ministry. We're so thankful for everything today as we sit somberly and walking with Jesus to the cross in the next few days. We love you, Lord, and thank you for everything. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Ooh.
Good stuff.
God is so good.
I mean, it's a sad time, but it's a good time. In a few days, it'll be a good time. Somber.
Somber, and it should be taken somberly and soberly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the greatest achievement in all of human history.
Mm.
God worked for 4,000 years to get us to that moment.
Mm.
That's another way you can view the scriptures, is God's efforts to get us to that moment right there.
Mm.
And that moment, everything changed.
Yeah.
Mm. So shall we leave him with some peace?
Some perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom.
Shalom.
We love you so much.
We'll see you next time.